Chodesh Tov. Our learning this week is dedicated in memory of Shaul Gershon ben Chaim Shmuel and Shalom Aaron ben Chaim Shmuel. Have a great day. Chodesh Tov. So may the merit of Dr. Agis and his brother, Stephen Agis, have an aliyah. Okay, we were on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And we're up to the Mishnah here on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah, and then we're going to, Wednesday, all are invited for the Siyum, Be'ez Hashem, at 8 p.m. The Siyum, right? What time?
7:20 Mincha.
7:20 Mincha.
Right after Marv.
And right after Marv. Okay, wonderful. All right, so let's start with the Mishnah now. Mishnah is dealing with some of the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. We learned that if you find spit in the middle of the street, so it depends when you find the spit in the middle of the street, whether it was holiday time or not holiday time. Another law of Tumah V'Tahara is that when a parochet, they used to weave two parochot a year. The reason why they would weave two a year is that all the smoke in the heichal, all the smoke of the ktores, would ultimately blacken the tapestry, would blacken the curtains. They'd have to make a new one twice a year. So when they make the new curtain, midrabanan, there would be a tumah just for the fact that they had made it. They would have to put it into the mikvah before they could use it. So now we'll start with the Mishnah. Paroches. Let's say you have a paroches of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenitma bevlada tumah. It only became tameh with a vlada tumah. Vlada tumah means a rishon l'tumah. What Mar is going to explain that we're referring to here a rishon l'tumah midrabanan, something which is only a rishon l'tumah based on a rabbinic law, such as liquids. If a liquid touches anything that could make truma pasul, midrabanan, they say that the liquid reverts back to being a rishon l'tumah. So if you have a liquid which is a rishon l'tumah midrabanan, and therefore it touches a paroches, we know a rishon has the ability to make food tummy, but not a utensil typically. And there's a special dindrabanan that they made a takana, that liquids that are rishon l'tumah should be able to be metami, a utensil. So we're talking about here a tumah drabanan. So paroches, when you have a paroches, shenitmis bevlada tumah, that became tame with a rishon l'tumah. So because it's a light tumah, we're talking about a dindrabanan that it's tame in the first place. So matvilan osa befnim. They could tovel it in one of the mikvos that are in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, we know we're going to get to it soon. Tomorrow, we start Masechet Yuma. There was the Beis HaParva. There was the mikvah on top of where, it was on one of the roofs of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen Gadol used to go to the mikvah there for Yom Kippur, for his service. So they could take the parochas there to this Beis HaParva that was in the Azara, and they could tovel it. And then they can immediately bring it in and put it up. Because even though normally when you have a tumah and you go to the mikvah, whether the person goes to the mikvah or utensil goes to the mikvah, you need immersion plus he'erev shemesh. You need the sun to set. But when we are dealing with the tumah drabanan, liquids that were metame a utensil, metame the paroches, so then you can put it into the mikvah and right away use it. Vishnitmis ba'ava tumah. But if the parochas became tummy from an avatumah, let's say a dead sheretz fell on it, then matvion osa b'chutz, and it's biblically tummy. If it's biblically tummy, the same way we have the law of shiluach tmeim, you have to send the tummy people out of the holy camp, the tummy objects also have to go out of the holy camp. So then matvion osa b'chutz, you tovel it outside of Beis HaMikdash, the shotchen osa b'chel, and you spread it out in the chel to dry. The chel is the area between the soreg, the wall, to the fence, the wicker fence to keep the non-Jews out, and the azara. So you spread it out on the chel to dry. Because you have to wait till the sun will set before you bring it in to the azara. Now, if you have a brand new paroches, so then there's also a tumah drabanan. So then you shotchen osa al gabi ha'itztaba. You spread it out on top of the portico. There was a portico around the edges of the Beis HaMikdash by Asheni in the second temple, in Herod's temple, and there were benches underneath the portico. So you spit it out on the portico so that everybody can see it and everybody can admire its beauty. Kadesh Yiru Amas HaMalacha. We want people to see how beautiful the handiwork of the parochas was. She knew that it was very nice because, again, we had to make two parochos every year and we need donations for it. So we want people to be incentivized to donate. When they see the beautiful parochas, they will have the incentive of donating. Parochas uvya tefach. The thickness of the parochas was a tefach. Al shivim ushtayim nimin. There are different explanations of what this means, but some say it means that there were 72 heddles in the weaving loom, and some say there were 72 strings. It was woven of 72 strings. Al shivim ushtayim nimin ne'eregas. I'll call nima v'nima. Every one of these strings really was made up of chaf dalet chutin, 24 smaller strings, 24 thinner strings twined together to be a big string, and then woven into the parochas. Arka, the length of the parochas was mem amos, was 40 amos. V'rochban, its width was 20 amos. V'shmonu v'shtayim ribu ha'isanase. So it would take 822,000 something out of what? So some say it's strings. 822,000 strings that were used to make it. And others say it's 822,000 coins that were used to make it. Ushtayim osim chol shana. Again, they used to make two parochos every year. Shalosh meos kohanim atbilin osim. You had to put it into the mikvah. You needed 300 kohanim to hold it, to get it into the mikvah and out of the mikvah. You might as well say that's an exaggeration. Yeah, question. Yes, it's all Midrash Rabbanan. That's right. Right, these are all Dinim Drabbanan. That's right. So the pasuk says about the parochas, "Vasisa parochas tcheles v'argamim v'tolah shani v'sheish masar." You shall make a parochas, a curtain of tcheles, of blue wool, argamon, purple wool, tolah shani, scarlet wool, red wool, v'sheish masar, and twisted linen, and then the sheish, and linen, and then it says mashzar. Mashzar means a twined together thread, a thread that was twisted together. Then it says maasei choshev, the handiwork of an expert. Yasa osa kruvim, make it with the picture of kruvim embroidered onto it. So the Gemara explains that from this pasuk, from the fact it says mashzar, that's how we learn how many threads were in the parochas. Il omar chut, had it said, make the parochas out of chut, out of strings, it would have been echad, a single string. Kafel, it would have said bent over, it would have meant shtayim, doubled. It would have said shazur, that would have meant shlosha, three threads. Now that it says vishesh and mashzar, it says mashzar, so that's doubling shazur, it means lishisha, that each thread has to be sixfold. Now, there are four types. There's Tcheles, Argaman, Tola, Shani, and Sheish. And each of those are sixfold. So Arba Mikan, there are four different types here. And we're saying that each type is sixfold. So Ha, Esrim, V'Arba. So that's how each thread was a total of 24 threads. That's what we said in the Mishnah, that it was made from Al Shivim Ushtayim Nimin. It was made with 72 big ropes and ne'eregas, and I'll call nima nima esrim v'arba chutim. And every one of these ropes is really made up of 24 threads. That's based on the fact that it says tola shani, argaman, tcheles, and sheish. And it says the word mashzar, not the word chut, not the word kaful, not the word shazur, the word mashzar. Now, that's our mission. That's the first opinion in this braisa. There are other opinions. Tani Lincoln of braisa. Shlosha mushtayim. There were 32 threads in each rope. Because ilo amar chut, had it said chut, then it would have been echad, one thread. If it would have said kafel, it would have meant shtayim, it would have been two. Shazur would have meant arba. Shazur would have meant four. Not that shazur would have meant three. Now that it said mashzar, that means shmona, eight. Then we get Arba Mikan, there are four types. So then, a Tlasim train, that means you have a total of 32. Finally, there was a third opinion in the Braisa, that our boy Mushmona, that each of these ropes had 48 threads. Ilu Amar Chut, had it said, string, Echad, it would have been one. Kaful, would have said doubled, it would have been shtayim, would have been two. Kli'ah, twined, would have meant shlosha, three. Shazur would have meant shisha, six. And once it says mashzar, that already means shneimasar, that means 12. Now, arba mikan, there are four types. So four types means a total of arba'im v'timnaya, 48. Kosav Echad Omer, there is one pasuk that says that sisa masach pesach ha'ol, you should make a curtain for the entrance to the tent made of tcheles, made out of wool, blue wool, argaman, purple wool, tola hashani, red wool, sheish masar, sheish, and linen, and then masar all twined together. And it said, ma'aseh rokin, the handiwork of a weaver. The Kasav Echad Omer, we have another pasuk about the paroches, vasitza paroches, tcheles, argaman, tola hashani, sheish, masar, ma'aseh, choshev. So what's the difference between a rokin and a choshev? So, explains the Gemara. Maaseh rokim means parts of echad, that they embroidered on it one face, on one side. Maaseh choshev, the expert craftsman, means shnei partsufim, that their partsufos, there were two faces, so one on one side and a face on the other side. Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemiah have an argument about this question. Chanam once said, Maaseh rokim means ari mikan v'chalak mikan. Maaseh rokim means a line was embroidered on one side and was flat on the other side. And Maaseh Choshev means Arimikan v'Arimikan, a line on this side and a line on the other side. V'Charan Amon, the other one said, Maaseh Rokim means Arimikan v'Arimikan. Maaseh Rokim means a line on this side and a line on that side. Maaseh Choshev means Arimikan, a line on one side, and Nesher Mikan, and the embroidering of an eagle on the other side. Okay, we said Bishmona Mushtayim Ribo Haisanase, so it was made out of 820,000 what? Some say coins, some say threads. And there were 300 koanim to immerse it. So, the parochas needed to go into the mikvah. So, sometimes it had to go into the mikvah in Beis HaMikdash, sometimes it had to be taken out of Beis HaMikdash to go into the mikvah. When going to the mikvah, you needed 300 koanim to hold it. It's a big, heavy tapestry. So Bishlak Bar Bizna B'Shem Shmuel said, Guzman, this is an exaggeration. Taman Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah in the Sechas Tamid, Ha'amim Hayalea Kishlosh Meos Kur. Sometimes there was so much ash in the Tapuach, in the pile of ash on the Mizbeach, it was like 300 Kur. All right, that's also a huge exaggeration. Number of Bishlak Bar B'Shem Shmuel, Guzman, that's an exaggeration. You can't imagine there was so much ashes of the left, of the burned carbonis.
Also have blood sprinkled on it?
Yes. Yeah.
And
if you
learn
what
blood, does that convey
tumor? Oh, so that was yesterday. We said that blood does not. Maybe, right? Certainly in a small amount, blood does not. Maybe in all amounts, it doesn't. But also the blood here wouldn't create tumor because it wasn't from an avela. It wasn't an animal killed without shechita. It was shechted directly. So there was no tumor. But that was another reason why you'd have to replace it, because it would get... it's colored, it wasn't as beautiful over time, so one of the reasons to replace. Yeah.
You said it would be shocked that something tamer.
Right.
And mazeala with a tamer de paroche.
Well, that's what Jonathan's bringing up, but in the Beit HaMikdash it didn't happen. Okay, so now we talk about other laws of Tumah, where you burn tame objects. Baser kachin kachin. Let's say you have meat of a karban, which is the holiest of holies. Let's say a chatas, an ola, shenitma. If it becomes tame, v'im b'avatuma, whether it became tuma with an avatuma, v'im b'vladatuma, or if it became tuma with a rishon l'tuma, v'im b'fneim, whether it became tuma tame in Beis HaMikdash, v'im b'chutz, or outside of the azara, v'shamay omra, v'shamay say, kol yisari p'fneim. Everything gets burned in the azara. Because what is psulo bakodesh, what was disqualified in the holy, is shefasa bakodesh, is burned in the holy. Chutz mishenitma ba'avatum b'chutz. Shammai says, if you have something that became tummy with an Ava Tuma outside of Beis HaMikdash, you have two problems. Number one, it's a very high Tuma. It was it was a very high Tuma. It's an Ava Tuma. And also it's out of the Azar already. And you wouldn't bring it back in to burn it inside. All right, that's opinion number one, Beis Shammai. I have four opinions here. According to Beis Shammai, Kachay Kachim, that are Nitma, with Ava Tuma, or with Rishon Letuma, wherever they are Nitma, they get burned in Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, except if it was outside and it's Nitma with Ava Tuma. Beis Hillel Omer and Beis Hillel say, in all these cases where the Kachay Kachim become Tameh, the opposite, I'll call you sorry, Pachutz. The Kachay Kachim get burned outside of the Azara. Same place where you burn the Kachim Kalim. But if it only became tame from touching a Rishon Letuma, and it's already inside the Azara, then we say, since it's such a light situation here, it's only a Rishon Letuma which touched it, and it's in the Azara, then we'll burn it in the Azara. All right, these are two opinions. Now, opinion number three, Belezer Omer. Belezer says like this. There's a difference, according to Belezer, between a high level of Tumah and a low level of Tumah. So if you have Kachay Kachim, that are Nitma ba'ava Tumah, that are Nitma from an Ava Tumah, from, let's say, a Sheretz, a dead Sheretz, then Bein Bifnim, Bein Bachutz, whether it became Tumah in the Azara or out of the Azara, Bachutz, it gets burned out of the Azara. Because he feels it's not respectful to burn something which is very Tumah in the Azara. But if it became tamei from Rishon Letuma, and bein b'chutz, bein b'fnim, he doesn't think it matters whether it happened outside or inside, then you sorry b'fnim, it's not so disrespectful, then you can burn it in the Azara. Now the fourth opinion is, Rabbi Akiva says, it's not that there's a difference between how it became, with what it became tamei, but rather, makom tum aso sham sreifasi. Wherever it became tamei, that's where it's burned. So if it became tamei in the Azara, it's burned in the Azara. If it became Tameh out of the Azara, it gets burned out of the Azara. It doesn't make a difference whether it became Tameh from an Ava Tumah or it became Tameh from a Rishon Letumah. Yeah, please.
When you said
Bifnim, Bifnim Ma'achan? No, Bifnim Ma'azara, in the courtyard. So, now we have an argument. What is the definition here of Lada Tumah, of Rishon Letumah? Bar Kapara said, Ava Tumah, when we talk about Ava Tumah, that means Dvar Torah. That means a biblical Ava Tumah, let's say a nevela, an animal that wasn't shefted correctly, a dead sheretz. Lada Tumah, when we talk about here, about a Rishon Letumah, that means midrabanan. As we're talking about, when the whole Tumah here is only midrabanan. Let's say you have a liquid, and the liquid touches a sheni, the liquid becomes a Rishon, and now this liquid touches an object. So, right, the liquid touches an object, and the object then touches the meat of the carbon. So we're only talking about here, Tumas Drabana. However, B'yokhlan Amar, no, Bein Zed Dvar Torah. The Ava Tumah here is an Avni Daoraisa, and the Rishon Letumah is also a Rishon Letumah Min HaTorah. So Ava Tumah would mean that a Sheretz touches the carbon, and a Rishon Letumah would mean that a Zav, you know, he spit on a kli shares, on a vessel. So the vessel becomes a Rishon Letumah. And this vessel now touches the meat of the carbon. So the Gemara now says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Rishon here is a Rishon Midoraisa. The Kashya Rabbi Yochanan de Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yochanan's version now is hard to understand. Now the view of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai said, how could you sorry if name? All kachim kachim, all kachim kachim, they become tameh, should be burned in the Azara. Chutz, mishenitum b'ava tumah b'chutz. Except if it became tameh with an ava tumah outside. So you have two problems. Number one, it's already outside. And number two, that it became tameh with a severe tumah, with ava tumah. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Rishon Letumah here is also is midoraisa. So ma bin av tumah b'chutz, ma bin v'lad tumah b'chutz. Right, I understand. If we're talking about a Rishon Letumah, which is Tamei Midoraisa, Klisharis that touched the Klisharis that made this meat of a carbon Tamei, was a holy serving vessel that had been made Tamei because a spittle of a Zav went on it. So that's a tumah d'oraisa. So why is it any different if that's what touches the kachay kachim on the outside versus if a sheretz is what touches the kachay kachim outside? Both of them are tumah d'oraisa. So why would Beis Shammai make a distinction? All right, says the Gemara, another problem. So the Gemara now says, and according to Beis Hillel, is this not a problem? Beis Hillel holds, I call you sorry, pachutz. All kachay kachin that became tameh are burned out of the azara. Except for what became tameh with a rishon letumah inside the azara.
It's not the entrance, the entrance idea that he went. So the shim bachutz and vlada tumah b'shnim.
Right, because it's a low level of tumah. Ah, right, so he holds hakol yisari bachutz. All the different kachim that become tameh. Let's say in the azara it became tameh with rishon. I'm sorry, right? In the azara it became tameh with sheretz. You take it outside to burn it. It was outside, and it became tameh with a liquid. You burn it outside. However, if it's in the azar already, and it only became tameh with a rishon letumah, so then it's not so disrespectful to the azara. You burn it in the azara. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the vlada tumah that we're talking about here is a tumah d'oraisa. So ma bein vlada tumah b'fnim, ma bein ava tumah b'fnim. Why would Beis Hillel make a difference between what made it tameh? What's the difference between if it became tameh from a sheretz or it became tameh from a vessel that had become tameh from zov? Zev is a dvartoru, right? Zev is a lo dvartoru. Both times it's a tumah midoraisa. So why should there be a difference? So the Gemara doesn't really answer these questions, and it moves on now to another opinion. Lo havu barabanan. The rabbis didn't try to answer the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Ella al-dvar kapara. He started to talk about the opinions of Bar Kapara. So Bar Kapara said, going back at the very beginning of this Gemara, Bar Kapara said the Abba Tumma was the Oraisa. The Vlada Tumma, the Rishon Tumma that's discussed here, is only Rishon Midrabanan and Tumma Midrabanan. So they said, Kasha to Bar Kapara to Beis Shammai. Bar Kapara's view doesn't seem to work well here to explain Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, Om Beis Shammai say, I call you sorry for him. Everything needs to be burned in the Azara. Chutz, mishenitma b'ava tamen b'chutz. All the different kachay kachim that become tameh are burned in the Azara. Except if the kachay kachim became tameh from an Abba Tumma outside, right? So that's the view of Beis Shammai. There are two problems. It's already outside, and it's become tameh with a severe tumah because the Abba Tumah touches it. Then you burn it outside. Now, if we're talking about the Abba Tumah, which is the Oraisa, and the Rishon Tumah is only Drabanan, but the Abba Tumah is the Oraisa, so now Bein Abba Tumah Bachutz, Ma Bein Abba Tumah Bein Bachutz, Bein Bifnim. So why should there be a difference between whether the Abba Tumah made it tameh when it was outside or the Abba Tumah made it tameh when it was inside? Zev zeh lo dvartoru. In either case, zev zeh lo dvartoru, isn't it a doraisa? It's a doraisa tumah. So in a doraisa tumah, both times it should be burned either outside or either inside. So my answer is, we have an answer for. Begin Rebbe Akiva Amar, because Rebbe Akiva says, Makom tumah so sham tem shrifa. So that where it became tameh, that's where it gets burned. The Beis Shammai also holds like that. They hold that it should be burned where it becomes tameh. So if it became burned, if it became tameh in the azara, it's burned in the azara. If it became tameh outside of the azara, it's burned outside of the azara. But that's only true if it became tameh with an Abba Tumah outside of the Azara. If it became tameh with a Rishon Letumah outside of the Azara, since the Rishon Letumah that we're talking about, according to Bar Kapara, according to Beis Shammai, it's only Drabanan, so we're talking about a light level of Tumah, then already you can bring it back into the Azara to burn it there. All right, so I feel all the Beis Hillel Mikshaya. One second, according to Beis Hillel, we don't have a question. Beis Hillel Amar, Beis Hillel Hold, Hakol Yisarif Bechutz, all Kachin that become tameh are burnt outside of the Azar. Except if the kachim became tameh with a rishon l'tuma in the Azara, then it gets burned in the Azara. So one second. According to Bar Kapara, if it becomes something with a rishon l'tuma, whether inside or outside, it only became something with a drabanan thing. So therefore, both should be burned inside. So why is there a distinction where it becomes tameh? Where it says, begin, because Reb Shimon, because he holds like Reb Shimon, that Amar, who said, Ma'achalo mashko shel mitzora, mishtalchon chutz l'sholosh machanos, that the food and the drink of the mitzora get sent out. Of all three camps. So therefore, he holds that the food of Mitzora gets sent out of all three camps. Therefore, when you have a Rishon L'tumah touching something on the outside, so now it should stay out of the camp. Therefore, since you shouldn't bring it into our bias, you have to burn it outside of the Azara. Well, because we're saying this tumah is a tumah. Again, it's the Yerushalmi's language. It's different than the Bavli. Okay, the final Mishnah now of the Masechta again takes us back to the topics of Maseches Tamid. When the Kohanim had won the lottery to bring the pieces of the Karban Tamid onto the Mizbeach, they used to arrange the pieces on the ramp. And then they would go to Lishkas HaGazas to daven, to say Shachris. It was an abbreviated Shachris, only one of the brachos of Kriyat Shema, then Kriyat Shema. And they would come back and put the pieces into the fire. So they had a special spot on the ramp of where they would put the pieces of the Karban Tamid. Now, we know that the ramp was to the south of the Mizbeach. It was 32 amos long. It was 16 amos wide. And on the corners of the Mizbeach, there were the special boxes, the corners, the kronos. And there was room to walk around on the top of the Mizbeach. So where did they put the different pieces of karbanos? Evari atamid, the limbs of the karban tamid, they would be put from the halfway point of the ramp and down, in other words, the bottom 16 amos of the ramp, b'ma'arav, on the western side. Shel musafim, the pieces of the karbanos musaf, nitanim michatzi kevesh ulamata, they would also be put from half of the ramp and down, but they were not on the western side, they were b'mizrach, they were on the eastern side. So Rosh Chodeshim, Baruch Hashem, today is Rosh Chodesh. So of the Karbanos Musaf Rosh Chodesh, those pieces, Nitanin al Karkov Mizbeach Milmala, they'd be put on the top of the Mizbeach in the area called the Karkov. We'll see what that is. Okay, so now we deal with the final discussion. What about nowadays where we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Shkalim, the obligation, the tax that every Jewish male has to give a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and Bikurim, and that the farmer has to find the first fruits and bring them up to Yerushalayim and give them to the Kohen. Ein hanog in el b'fnei habayis, they're only an obligation when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Once we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have these obligations. Shkalim are again to buy karbanos. Bikurim are also to place them in front of the Mizbeach, wave them. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Mizbeach anymore. Have a Meiser Dagan. But if you're a farmer in Israel and you're growing things, that you have to separate out of your wheat 10% and give the 10% to the Levium. And then in year 3 and in year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, you have to give a second 10% to the poor. So Meiser Dagan, the Mas and Meiser Sheni, to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Meiser Behema, and if you are a rancher and you have a flock of animals being born, every 10th animal, Uvachoros, and the law of Bechor, firstborn that really belongs to the Kohen, Those are Nogan, maybe if Nehabayas, when you look for Nehabayas. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why is that Maaser is a function of the holiness of the land. And according to the Rush, the land is still holy. Maaser Behema is every tenth, so it's compared to 10% of the produce. And Bechor, because it has the stringency that it's holy from birth, also still applies nowadays, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Hamaktish galim ubikurim. If somebody dedicates shkalim or bikurim nowadays, a person takes the shekel, he says, I'm giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a shekel. It's my matzah, a shekel donation, or it's a kaddish, it becomes holy. If Shimon Omer, if Shimon says, Omer bikurim kodesh in a kodesh. If a person says, my first fruits are holy, they're not holy. Because the pasuk says, "Reishis bikuri admas matavi beis Hashem lokecha." The first of the fruits of your land, you should bring to Hashem, to the house of Hashem, your God. That's something when you have a house, then you have an obligation to bring. But since nowadays we don't have the house, we don't have an obligation to bring. And even if a person said he's making it holy, he's making bikurim, it doesn't work. All right, is there a karkov mizbeach? What's this area where the limbs of the carbon, the Musaf, sacrifice would be placed. Where's that? Where's the karkov of the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, it's the Amma in Karen LeKaren. It's an Amma, the Amma between each corner. Malkum Hiluch Raglia Kohanim, which is where the Kohanim, plus the area where the Kohanim can walk around between the Kronos and the Ma'arach. Okay. Right, it's a zeichel machtes a shekel, just a memorial. It's not real shekels. And you have Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, so you have two karbanas musaf. You have the musaf of Shabbos and the musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Musaf of Shabbos and musaf of Rosh Chodesh. When you have the karbanas musaf of Shabbos and the karbanas musaf of Rosh Chodesh, so mikodem, what's brought first? Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, Musaf Shabbos, Musaf Rosh Chodesh, Musaf Rosh Chodesh Kodem. Rabbi Yirmiyah thought that when you have the choice of Musaf of Shabbos and Musaf Rosh Chodesh, you bring the carbon of Rosh Chodesh first. Chayled Rabbi Yirmiyah Min Adah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah's strength, Rabbi Yirmiyah's support is from the following. We learned in a Braisa, this Shiro Shal Shabbos and Shiro Shal Rosh Chodesh. What song should the Levim sing first? The song of Shabbos or the song of Rosh Chodesh? Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh Kodem. But the song of Rosh Chodesh would be sung first. So if the song was sung first, that means that the Musaf was of Rosh Chodesh, the carbon of Rosh Chodesh was brought first. Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef disagreed. He said, Shanya Hitaman, you can't bring a proof from there. That's different over there. So Amr Rav Chia B'Shem Rav Yochanan, because Rav Chia said, Nim Rav Yochanan, the reason why they would sing the song of Rosh Chodesh before the song of Shabbos is because they had the first Rosh Chodesh. To let everybody know that it's Rosh Chodesh. A lot of people didn't see the moon. They don't know. So we want to publicize that it is Rosh Chodesh. But in terms of the carbon, maybe the carbon of Shabbos comes first before the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. As Izzy said, Tadir Rishenu, Tadir, Tadir Kodem, the more regular should come first. And also, the more Kadosh should come first. And Shabbos is holier than Rosh Chodesh. All right, so Ketzer Oseh, what is the halacha? What happens when you have Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos? How do you do it? Shochet Musaf to Shabbos. First you shech the Karbanos Musaf of Shabbos, Vomer Aleihem Shirah Shel Rosh Chodesh. And you sing over it the song of Rosh Chodesh. Ram Hacha. But Ram Hacha, Musaf Shabbos, Musaf Rosh Chodesh, Musve Shabbos Kodmin. But in regards to the slaughtering, yes, we slaughtered Shabbos first. Hashem, based on the fact, Kol HaTadir, Mechavero, Kodem Es Chavero, whatever is more regular should come first. So yeah, we might sing Rosh Chodesh first, but we do the carbon of Shabbos first, the Musaf of Shabbos first, because the more regular comes first. All right, Shkalim will be Bikurim. If somebody wants to make his shekels holy nowadays, or his Bikurim holy nowadays, So we saw the discussions in the Mishnah. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon said about Bikurim that you can't make Bikurim holy nowadays because of the pasuk that says you have to bring it to the house. You don't have the house nowadays. Hashkalim kadshu. But would Rabbi Shimon hold it if you take a coin, you say this coin is a shekel, it would become kadosh? And so the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, bein elu lo kadshu, that no, both shkalim and Bikurim, if you say nowadays you're making them holy, nothing took effect because you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, when someone would convert, so there were three things that he needed to do. Go to the mikvah, get a bris milah, and offer a karban. What about nowadays? So honey, we lived in a braisa. Ger bezman hazeh, ger nowadays. He doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash to bring karbanos to. So tzarech lahavi kino riva kesef. Revius Kesef, he has to separate money for a nest of birds. He has to put aside a quarter of a dinar of silver. And once we get the Beis HaMikdash, it says Hashem, he'll buy the animal, he'll buy the birds, and he'll bring the carbon. I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, Bitler Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, I stopped this takana. Why? Because if you have coins that are holy sitting around, people might use them, and then it would be a sin of Mi'ila. What's this takala? Where could it go wrong? Kadadatani, as we learned, hey makdishin. We don't consecrate objects. Lo marichin, and we don't dedicate the value of a certain person. Lo machrimin, or do we make a cherim vow? Lo magbiin shumas umaisus bezman hazeh, and we don't create things with the holiness of truma and meiser nowadays. If a person does those things, if he made something holy, let's say he made a garment holy, you have to burn the garment. If you made an animal holy, you have to uproot it. You have to make it sterile. You have to uproot it. You have to get rid of it. Why? You have to lock the door in front of this animal and not feed it. And have it die. And the coins will go to the sea. So why do we do this? Because we're worried that there's going to be misuse. There's going to be mi'ila. So therefore, we try to prevent any situation of mi'ila happening. And therefore, we don't allow people to make things holy nowadays. And therefore, we would not. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stopped the gerim from putting aside money for karbanos. It would end up creating takala. Okay, we'll stop here.